Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, the Star Wars fanfic cast, where three Hollywood professionals take a crack at Star Wars by writing a Jar Jar movie, week by week, scene by scene, one page at a time. My name is Freddie Wong. I speak Astromech. Beep, boop, 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 boop.
My name's Will Campos, and I am haunted by the kiss that you never should have given me.
Hey, it is Matt Arnold. Just want to give a shout out to my cuz, to one of my favorite members of the Star Wars family, Abby Sheridan, base third assistant director. How's it going? Big fan. That's all. I feel like I got a lot of shout outs to my people, JJ and Kathleen. Wanted to shout out to the, you know, smaller people out there.
Oh, is that the actual assistant director on one of the
base
Star Wars
third
movies?
Assistant director? Yeah.
Abby Sheridan. All right.
Yeah, she's the one who's. I won't say that she's the source of a lot of my inside knowledge because I don't want to get her in trouble, but she knows what's up.
Just making sure that Abby Sheridan has a milkshake duck. Okay, we're clear.
Oh, no. She's the worst one on the crew.
You know it's bad when the third assistant director is making the news for saying stuff.
Oh, this movie's in trouble.
Abby Sheridan has a Google alert for her name. It was like, who Googled Abby Sheridan racist?
Oh, no.
That's not how Google alerts work.
We just gave
it. You don't get alerted every time Google someone. Okay, that would be
that's
amazing.
Incredible.
That's how
the
Google
idea that Google alerts you if somebody searches for you.
Hey, Freddie, someone else look for Freddie Mercury. Ah, man.
All right. Let's do this dumb show. Let's do it.
No, it was dumb.
It's not
Will.
A dumb show. It rules.
It
we
was
got a
dumb.
Force Ghost cameo, dude. This, yes. Yeah, it was dumb until the Force Ghost cameo.
Wait, Freddie, what the fuck do you think we just spent all this time doing? You think we spent all this time building him to a Force Ghost cameo? This is a fucking he's the second lead of the movie, dude.
No, I know, I'm saying, but this is the first time, right, that we're getting a Force Ghost, like early origins stumbling around, not
but
quite.
Just to be clear, when somebody first shows up in a movie, it's not like they're a cameo until they've been in
they're
the movie.
They're a cameo until they show up in the second
scene. You're being such a pedantic butt right now.
Oh, Freddio, you mean a cameo?
No, it's a cameo because time moves in a linear fashion. It's a cameo until they show up in the second scene and then they're in
the
movie.
You're right. You're like, this is a good cameo. Ooh, now it's a role.
Like if you were watching a stage play and some A-list celebrity showed up on stage, you would be like, oh, what a fun cameo. And then they were still in it. You'd be like, oh, I guess they're in the play. That's exactly how
the
was,
idea
idiot,
of a stage play cameo is cameo. The most fucking insane thing. Like, you imagine, like, Hamilton, and they're like, oh, yeah, we have a Paul Giamatti cameo as John Adams. And then Paul Giamatti has to show up every fucking night to be John Adams for one scene in Hamilton.
So where are we at? I know where we're at because I'm excited.
Before we say where we're at, I do have to issue a story break clarification, which is we forgot to talk about this. Some of you may be wondering, what happened to Anakin? Anakin in the last episode was supposed to have a nice burger scene with Jar Jar where they're going to eat burgers. Well, what happened is, and we talked about this off mic and then I forgot to say it in the episode. So Anakin literally during that whole speech is murdering people on Mustafar. It's like they do like a kind of Godfather thing where like the Emperor is giving a speech and then you're cutting to Anakin slicing and dicing on the lava planet. And then like he never leaves. He doesn't come back to Coruscant because then they just fly out to go confront him.
It's like the Godfather if he didn't know anybody he was killing. So it's like, yeah, he's killing those guys on Mustafar.
So alas, Anakin could not. I mean, I guess we could have just said, fuck it. Clearly no one would have caught it.
Also, just to be clear, Will's acting like we just had like a consensus on this. I was strongly for the idea that Anakin is Zoom calling while he's killing these people and talking to Jar Jar, like giving him advice.
I'm sorry,
like,
I can't talk right now. Give me a second.
Kind of got my hands full.
Just give me a sec. I hear you, Jar Jar. I'm hearing you. Just give me 1 second. I'll talk to you. And then, you know, but it's okay.
Shit,
no,
it's pretty
good.
Draft two. We'll be like, what's it? It's just Jar Jar's like, you sound busy. And like, he's on speakerphone and you're just hearing a lightsaber swing around. He's like, yeah, I'm just doing my exercise.
So yes, but you know what, honestly, I actually think it's a better decision. I actually like, because I was thinking that a future scene will probably be like Jar Jar doesn't know what happened to Anakin.
That's true.
And that's gonna be a tragic early moment, and there's something nice about maybe this movie just being nothing but Vader. Like, you'll probably first see Anakin in, like, a bed. Oh, actually, I mean, we'll probably see Anakin in, like, the bed, like, broken, you know, with, like, burnt and, like, essentially
so
dead.
So, I guess you'd say maybe Vader someday later, but now he's just a small fry.
Nice. Maybe, we can canonically change it. The reason he screams no is because Jar Jar's in the room. And he's just responding to sing Jar Jar.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We're going to retcon the no because he sees Jar Jar and he can't believe that his good friend has to see him like this, dude. Fucking breaks your heart.
I was going to say the more that he's like, no, why is Jar Jar still here?
Fucking, do you think, is that, hear me out, is that the last time a major motion picture has had someone scream no at the top of their lungs?
That definitely ruined it.
I haven't seen it since, I don't think. Like, it's like, you know, it's kind of considered like one of those big classic, like, sort of cinema cliches, but I think the only one I can genuinely think of done that way is in Revenge of the Sith, and frankly, it fucking rules, and we should all be embarrassed for ourselves for not being on George's wavelength.
I'll just say, not to get into Star Wars hot takes, like, just thinking about that moment, like, that moment would have been so, the no is goofy inherently because it's already a trope, but also, like, the idea is that he's just devastated at everything that's happened, like, that he's lost Padme, he's lost everything, and now he's a shell. Like, what you've never seen is Darth Vader, like, the idea that he, anyways, it would have been incredible if he just, like, saw who he was and just crumpled to the floor and put his head down and was, like, sobbing.
That's
like,
true.
Holy shit, I've never seen Saber fucking
Darth Vader
sob.
Mad. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, okay.
It's also, you know what it is? It's like, the problem is that James Earl Jones's voice is just a fucking Mercedes-Benz of a voice. And like,
there's
something about James Earl Jones saying no. Like, it just doesn't, like, he's too powerful. Like, his voice is too amazing to be that distraught over something. You're like, yeah, but you're fine. You're James Earl Jones.
Earl Jones, and you're a badass now.
Yeah. Like, your voice is a tank, dude. Like, anyway.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, this week, so Jar Jar has had his big indecisive moment. He got worked by the Emperor and Padme. I can't believe we forgot to slip in any coy grappling hook references into the Padme scene.
Draft 2. When people talk about a punch-up, they talk about just inserting grappling hooks into every scene they can.
He's been dragooned by one Qui-Gon Jinn and his droid buddies.
Okay.
So Nate 38's kind of vanished from the script as well. We'll bring Nate back soon, but
you just have Qui-Gon be like, I had to get rid of that.
Yeah,
Nate
he's
38.
Dead. He's dead.
No, Nate 38's not dead.
Nate 38 is dead.
I refuse. Nate 38 is not dead.
Okay,
like,
well,
she
he'll show
is,
when we need
you know,
him
like,
to.
I mean, like, whatever. Like, you know, you're not with your boss 24/7. You know, they have scenes without C-3PO. You're not like, where's C-3PO?
I'm just saying that Nate 38 should not have more screen time than R2-D2 does. That's all. That's my only.
You're saying it's like it's like sriracha. It's like a little goes a long way. Like, you put it on everything, then the whole thing's gonna just taste like sriracha. Okay. All right. So, yeah, we got to talk about this Qui-Gon scene. And then we've also got to talk about, like, we're laying the track down here. So where does the Qui-Gon scene lead?
This scene, we more or less knows where it leads, which is Qui-Gon is recruiting him to be a super spy, right? Like, that he's going to be undercover tool for the Emperor.
What does Qui-Gon want from Jar Jar? Like, what is his goal in having Jar Jar do this?
An inside man that can...
But what does that mean, inside man? That's what I'm saying. Does he want him to kill the Emperor? Does he want him to... Because it's not quite like the idea of, like, we want you to spy on him and give me information kind of made sense when it was like the Rebels, because the Rebels are, like, actively, like, you know, like, they have other agents that can act on that information. But, like, this is, like, a pretty rogue op for, like, one person to be doing.
It should be information. I don't think it'd be like, hey, you're going to kill Emperor Palpatine. Because, I don't know. I'm just like, okay, that just is like, okay, how do you, like, get close to in the room and take him out right then? It does feel like it needs to be information. And, like, again, I think the idea that we don't quite know. I mean, I think Qui-Gon needs to make it clear that he is passing on this information to the people who can use it.
Here's the riddle. I guess this is just something we're going to have to explain in the scene. It feels like, once you're a ghost, do you need intel? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're... like, once you're a ghost... Here's my question.
Yes.
Like,
well, yes.
Do
yes,
ghosts know, like, is you're dead? Like, hey, you like, what spirit realm are you in that you can't just see everything going on?
No, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Because otherwise, why wouldn't Obi-Wan in the future movies be like, Luke, Darth Vader, he's like, just you press the red button 3 times and you turn just off the suit, Luke. I saw him do it.
I'm sorry, what?
Hey, like, why wouldn't...
You're saying, in Return of the Jedi, why didn't Obi-Wan Kenobi just tell Luke Skywalker that you can turn off Darth Vader's...
Like, yeah, I'm just saying,
I'm just saying,
like, if he was a Force ghost, then it would be like, okay, we don't need the second Death Star plans or anything, because...
Yeah, there's plenty of things they could have helped with. Hey, Rose and Finn, don't get that weird guy who's clearly going to betray you. Just, here's the password. I figured it out.
I ghosted over, and I shoulder surfed those Imperial dumbasses.
Okay, really quick, just since Freddie brought up the logistical questions about the ghosts, here are the two things I think you can stick to in terms of how the Force ghosts work. One, it does seem like it must take some energy and it's not like the easiest thing to do in the world. Otherwise, the ghost would just be wandering around. It feels very clear that whatever realm they're in, it takes concerted effort to the point that Qui-Gon had to figure out how to do it. So it takes effort to do it. They can't just like live around all the time.
Yes.
Also, they are visible, so like it's not easy to like where they can do hide behind a curtain. Like it's like, hey, what's that glowing thing over there? So it's like they're not also just like popping
up. But what can they do against them? Like once you see force ghosts, what are you gonna do? Like just stop shoo them away?
Just stop talking.
Yeah,
hey, we're not gonna talk anymore until you leave.
Yeah, but ghost. This is very good. This is very good because the ghost,
tell
like,
us your
the
secrets.
Ghost is like,
tell us your secrets. No, we're not talking until you leave, dude.
No. Like now, every Star Wars scene, you realize every scene in Star Wars now that they don't show in the movies, but it's every meeting, it starts with them checking the corners to see if there's a force ghost listening. Like every scene in Star Wars,
he's like, all right, I'm going away. And then like he like disappears, but then you see his nose poking out of the walls. Like, we know you're hiding behind the wall. We know you're still there.
Lord Vader, we've received news of the rebels on Endor.
No, wait. There's a force
Stop
ghost
talking.
Behind. Hold on. We need to go somewhere else. Ah, you've got me, Vader, once again. I was listening
you
in.
You old scam, Vader.
No, Vader, you've got me. I'll disappear now. Boop, boop, boop. I can see you still. I sense your presence.
I know you just did a sound of your feet walking away. I know you're still there.
No, you're still there.
Oh, well, Vader, then perhaps I should just go downstairs. And he, like, does the, like, thing behind the table where it looks like he's going down the stairs. Well, now that the ghost of Obi-Wan is gone, Lord Vader, we'd like to give it... No, that is a trick. A Jedi trick. You must be mine.
It's essentially any sort of spy the rebels have, it'd be like BMX and Angel like
summoner versus BMX.
It'd be like, okay, we're gonna sneak in. Like, no, wait, let's just call a force ghost. He can find out the information. Just call Obi-Wan.
Yeah, like we're the Bothans. We're the greatest spy species in Star Wars has ever known.
Well, we've caught you, Obi-Wan. Oh no, you've caught me. I'm a ghost.
Oh no, bye bye
bye.
Damn
it.
Damn, that's good.
Truly invented the best
spy. I like
spy.
The idea that the Empire gets like really religious. Like all their security measures start becoming like religious ceremonies and putting like, yeah, to like ward off ghosts. And they all start getting superstitious and fucking just terrified all the time. They're like, shh, don't talk here. Speak in the church. This is the only place where force ghosts can enter.
So I will say that canonically, okay. Emperor Palpatine has been able to dupe the Jedi by just like blocking their access to the force. Like that's how it come like, because there's a whole thing where like Yoda and Mace Windu spend like half of the prequels being like, dumb we are, we see through the Sith, we cannot, like they make a point of that. So you could do that, like Qui-Gon does still, but I'm like, what is he trying to figure out? That's what I'm trying to, like, again, like if you wanted someone on the inside, because like you're trying, you're like, we believe they have a secret nuke in, you know, somewhere in Antarctica, and they need you to get the map or the microfilm or whatever, right?
I buy, since this is early, I do buy that he is being proactive and being like somebody from the beginning. Again, like when they have like sleeper agents during the Cold War, they weren't like, hey, live in, you know, Pasadena because we know there's a nuke there. It's like, hey, live in Pasadena and pretend to be an American citizen and we will call you when it's time. Like, that's how sleeper agents like
sure,
work.
But
like,
that's kind of punting the problem down the road a little
no,
bit.
No, I know, but that might be what...
I see what you... like, yeah, but like we should figure out what that's eventually going to be if we're going to do that. Because my point is that the Jedi already, like, again, you see this in Revenge of the Sith, but Obi-Wan has already put together that, like, the Emperor is the Sith they're looking for. So you got to assume Qui-Gon has, he's like, they fucking finally figured it out now that it's all too late, you know?
Well, okay, you know what? This is a good way to frame it, because whether or not we introduce it here, I think this is the important thing, which is, what is our Death Star?
Not to be that guy. It could be the Death Star, right? Like,
how about the Death Star, but it eats a sun beforehand, and then it can blow up, like, multiple planets. Like, it's like a bigger Death Star. It's called the Star... thing. But no, we don't need to do that. Please, let's not do a third Death Star.
We could do the very long lightsaber.
Freddy's obsessed with the idea of an extremely long lightsaber that you just wave around. How does it work? What's the...
It's just a super long lightsaber.
It's just a very long lightsaber, and you just kind of point it at things. You just kind of wiggle your arms around, and it's like you've killed everything in that, wherever that is.
Like if you're holding it.
No, because like, Freddy, if there's one thing we know about Jedi, it's that they're good at jumping really high. So, like, if you just wiggle that around at human height, they just jump
over it. This is not a weapon to kill
it.
Jedi. This is a weapon to just, like, you know, like, could you imagine, you know, you're like that scene in The Mandalorian when they're, like, in the standoff and they're holed up in the bar at the end of season one, mm-hmm. instead of pulling out a big gun, you just pull out the lightsaber. Like, I'm making it longer. It's getting longer.
Does it have something to do? Because we also are leading into the
Werner Herzog with like a little crank on the lightsaber, yeah. just being like, the lightsaber will reach you soon and you will not be able to stop it.
Oh, also, I was right. I hear you, Will, because now, sorry, I was getting mixed up. Because yes, this is before the original trilogy. It's not like this would be the third Death Star you're talking about.
No. This is like, I was like, you could do. He's like, I need you to get the. I mean, it's just there. We already did Rye. If I see one more thing about the Death Star plans, my fucking head is going to shoot off.
Yeah, they already have two buoys. Like, we don't need to do that. Jar Jar is going to figure out. Like, what was the first horrible thing before the Death Star? Like, that's
okay. We're saying that like there's got to be some kind of like bad guy shenanigan heretofore unknown.
And again, I'm not saying that necessarily. I don't know if Qui-Gon's like already like, hey, there's a secret plan here. But like, I think we need to know what is going to be the primary. It's tough because like spy movies are about like the intrigue. Most spy movies aren't like, this is the answer, go find it.
Yeah, you can MacGuffin it really well.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that's just this side rant, but one thing that's interesting about spy movies now is they have no fucking clue what to do themselves outside the context of the Cold War. Like, if you look at, like, there's no, they're just spinning their tires, and it's like every movie becomes this meta plot about there's always, like, the list of spies is going to get out. Like, that's all they can ever fucking do now is, like, the agency got taken over by the other guy, so we got to stop it. Because it's just meta nonsense, because they don't have an enemy as compelling as the Russians in the Cold War.
Yeah.
But you could do that, like, especially if we're saying that, you know, Jar Jar shouldn't go with Padme because she's surrounded by, you know, narcs or whatever for the Emperor. Like, that's Obi-Wan's pitch. You could be like, you know, that they're sleeper Sith or whatever. You know, Jar Jar's got to find out who they are. That feels like the video game version. Could the mystery be some kind of prophecy thing or something that is kind of spiritual or like not spiritual, but like something that's like more... Again, because he's getting like if he's had a vision from like the dream world or whatever, and he has some clue that, you know, X, Y, and Z thing needs to happen or a terrible fate will befall the universe. Like, that's what he needs Jar Jar in position to stop, like, because he can't understand. He doesn't quite understand it himself.
Yeah, I like that. I think he can essentially be, this is going to be, obviously, he's right, like, because, right, the Emperor does lead to the Death Star. Like, he essentially talks about, like, this is not just like a change in politics. Like, I foresee, you know, I've sensed entire worlds being destroyed by him. And you're like, oh, yeah, like he's right. Like,
here's something interesting. Because, again, what we wind up doing with the end of the movie is that Jar Jar's death, like when Jar Jar lets Anakin strike him down, like that he proves to Anakin that there's still good in him or whatever we were going to do. Right. And like there's that seed of good in Anakin that then Luke Skywalker senses, and then Anakin throws the Emperor off the fucking, you know, OSHA railing or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, could you do, like, what he's sensing is that there is, like, you know, like, I'm trying to think of, like, if there's, like, and again, he doesn't quite know what it is, but he's like, I know that there's something you need to do. The other thing I was going to say, stepping back from this, is that ultimately, because I was thinking about this last night, ultimately, I feel like you got the Emperor, you've got Padme, and you've got Qui-Gon, and all three of them are essentially trying to use Jar Jar to achieve their own. To all three of them, Jar Jar is an expendable tool to be used, you know, in the name of the people, right?
Right.
So Qui-Gon, again, like, I think Qui-Gon's arc here is that he needs to stop fucking interfering in the world that he's dead, you know? Like, it's like, come on, man, like, this is the, you are teetering on the edge of the dark side just by even doing any of this. And so, like, the, I don't know that whatever Qui-Gon's intrigue is here needs to essentially, I don't know that it even necessarily needs to become our endgame.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little confused on that, and that I don't know. One, I mean, I definitely think the movie, like, I like having an element of the French Resistance and stuff, but like, I do think the movie clearly has a moral viewpoint that like the Emperor is evil. I mean, even like Army of Shadows, like, it's still,
I'm
like,
not saying that he's not evil.
And I also don't know if Qui-Gon's, I mean, I guess we can get into the arc, but whether or not it's like Qui-Gon needs to let go to stick with like the fun and the thrill of the spy stuff, which like some, the ambiguity and the tension is that he's a spy undercover that could get killed at any second by the Emperor if he thinks that he is not loyal to him. And not knowing and being uncertain and like discovering horrible acts that are occurring is like the job of the spy. Like, you are trying to uncover those things. So if you are just given the answer at the top, like, that's also defeating the purpose. And then also, I don't think it needs to be some element of like, I think you are special. Like, I don't think he's like Jar Jar, you're, because that's one of my least favorite things about these, like, very circular, snake eating his own tail logic of it, where it's like, no, it's not destiny. It's just like, you're the reason I'm picking you is because the Emperor doesn't fucking think you're important and thinks you're a political puppet. So, like, you just got to do this, Jar Jar. And, like, I do like, though, that he has this foreboding that the Emperor is like, obviously, like, this is going to be a war. This is dangerous. But, like, Qui-Gon specifically senses this is more than just a shift in, this is more than just going to be like a ruthless government. Like, he senses that the emperor is going to destroy billions and billions of lives. Like, this is a dangerous man beyond even what Padme and these people think. Like, so I need somebody in there, I think, is like a valid thing. Like, it's a war movie. Like, there's a new emperor. Like, how would you make a War II movie exciting without, like, Qui-Gon's like this one? And we also have the benefit of knowing where this is going to go, to some, like, that he is going to destroy entire planets. So, and we know that Padme is as important to Padme, a character that we care about. Like, that is, like, this man is dangerous.
So something that just popped in my head is Padme's about to die. Like, I forgot about that. It's not like Padme is going to be a character in this movie much longer.
Yeah.
So that's also, that's something that I'm like, oh, huh, yeah, that's different.
No, that's fine. That's another, I mean, and these are all horrible things that Jar Jar is going to be seeing happening. And he's going to, again, to me, the real tension and the real, and it's a tough thing to characterize, and it's a tough thing of a lot of spy. This is the tough tension of spy movies. It's like Jar Jar is going to feel like he's not doing a lot. Like, that is his price to pay during this. It's like,
hear me out. Because this might be even something I would like kind of retcon into the previous scenes. If you were going to do that, let's say Qui-Gon intervened in this moment. And then essentially what he tells Jar Jar is like, listen, Jar Jar, everyone you love and everything you, we are seconds away from the greatest tragedy that's ever, and there's nothing you can do to stop it, right? He's like, Padme's dead. Anakin's a fucking robot. You're like Anakin has fallen to the dark side. Emperor Palpatine.
A robot.
I like that, by the way. I like him saying these things, and Jar Jar is like, it's like a doctor coming in and be like, okay, so about your cancer, I think our first was like, wait, what? I have cancer?
Yeah.
He's like, okay, so look, Jar Jar, look, everything's crazy. You know this stuff's going to happen. You know, Padme's dead. Anakin's a robot. It's like, wait, what? Padme's dead. Anakin's a robot?
The Emperor's a Dark Lord. Like,
everyone thinks that Anakin's been merged with a droid at first.
But then you also do, like, if you were going to plant, like, again, we didn't put it in the previous scene, but if Padme was like, meet us here or whatever, right? You do everyone. You're like, ooh, this must be the beginnings of the rebellion. Everyone at that meeting that Jar Jar was about to go to just got fucking massacred by the Emperor's, like, secret agents. And, like, Bail Organa barely escaped with his life. Like, you could do, like, that kind of shit, too, right? Like, so Qui-Gon is like, there is no one to stand up to the Emperor. Do you know what I mean? It could be something like that. Like, no one except for you. That would at least put the urgency on Jar Jar's shoulders a bit more. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, as opposed to it being like, well, there is a Rebel Alliance, but you shouldn't work with them and you should work for me. Like, no, like, everyone just got wiped the fuck out, right? Like, couldn't that be part of the heat here?
Sorry, I guess I'm also confused on that. I love the, again, Qui-Gon Ghost is the best thing ever, but based off of our outline, it's like, I don't know if you can do that. Qui-Gon is like this third party that's not helping the Rebels at all. Like, the whole point of the outline is like, he is undercover to help. Like, the information gets passed on. Like, I think Qui-Gon, you have to assume that Qui-Gon is using the information he's getting. He's not just, like, storing it in his ghost world and thinking about using it later. Like, he meets Jar Jar up on top of rooftops, and Jar Jar is like, hey, he's about to kill, 100,000 people. Like, you know, but there's a bunch of refugees we could get out of there. And Qui-Gon's like, thanks. And he's like, hey, are you going to do anything about it, Qui-Gon? He's like, that's not for you to worry about, Jar Jar. Like, you know, that's for the Rebels to worry about. Thanks for the information.
Force works in mysterious ways. You know, okay, yeah.
So I do think, like, Jar Jar has to be, like, working for, again, we don't see the other side all the time. We only get it from Jar Jar's point of view.
So you're saying that, like, Qui-Gon has various agents in the world that he's working, right? But, like, yes.
You're just part of my spy network.
I mean, essentially, right? Like, he's, again, it's ghost spy. So you're saying that Qui-Gon is, he's got Jar Jar.
Yeah, we have to figure it out just because, ghost spies ruins all of Star Wars.
No, let's get back to ghost spies. We already
No, but
settled.
Then again, to me, like, here's what I would say. Because, yes, you were raising the question, well, why aren't the ghosts super involved in everything else in Star Wars? And, yeah, to me, Qui-Gon's arc is that he needs to move on. Like, Qui-Gon's arc is, again, he's like, this power of manipulating world events from beyond the grave, like,
is too dangerous.
So
Qui-Gon literally is,
he,
like,
he sees himself getting pulled into the dark side of the Force out of his desperation to fucking stop.
Yes.
I mean, it's gaze not into the abyss, and the abyss gaze
back. And
monsters,
then Qui-Gon in the end goes like, Jar Jar, there was a switch actually that lets me do this. I'm going to turn that off for all Jedi from now on. And then Qui-Gon's like, that's a good idea. And then that's, okay, got it.
I mean, it's not that. I mean, it's just he learns.
No, I know.
But yes, he's like, I turn off the ghost switch. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something they play a little bit, but it's clear that Jar Jar cares about his friends, right? So there is this tragedy of Qui-Gon Jinn is this ghost. who was his friend, but like is already hardened and there's not like a lot of like warmth here. So it's like, okay, this is like already like, okay, he's fucking hardened ghost. He's like, I need you to do this. Like, I have sensed that the Emperor is more dangerous than even they imagine. Like, we need somebody on the inside. We need somebody who we can trust, who can tell me information, who we can help save lives across the galaxy. Like, you're going to help Padme. Like, you want to help Padme and them? This is how you do it. Yeah. And like, it's going to be hard, but like, people are going to reward you, Jar Jar. Like, this yes. is going to be, you're going to be a hero. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the best way you can help. And the end of this scene is Jar Jar going to the Emperor and it's like, Padme's dead. Mm-hmm. And Anakin walks in as Darth Vader and they're like, great, Jar Jar, this is the first thing you need to do. Help, you know, load up all these fleets because we're about to go conquer 40 planets or whatever and murder people.
Yeah. It's the kiss the ring. And then, yeah.
Yeah, and then he, like, you know, it's like Jar Jar looks at Anakin.
Oh,
like, Anakin?
There's a, again, I think it's pretty simple. There's a resistance on Naboo to the Empire and he's got to go put it down, right? Like, whatever.
Yes.
We'll figure it out.
Yes, and I think there's this handshake moment where it's like he looks at Anakin and Anakin, like Darth Vader, turns to him and he's like breathing and he, like, Vader giving him, like, after the Emperor leaves, Vader turning to him and there's just the two of them. He's like, oh. And then Vader hugs him. He's like, I'm glad you're with me. You know, I'm glad you're with me, Jar Jar.
Oh, yeah.
It's good to have a friend
brutal.
Here. Yeah. I'm glad you understand what's at stake and what the Emperor, you know, how important this is. He walks away. He's like, oh my God, like Vader is this lonely kid also.
He's lost everyone
and they only have each other. And it's like, shit, like Anakin buys it. Like,
yeah, he's like, And then it's like, oh shit, you're going to be so pissed when you find out that Jar Jar's a traitor.
Yeah. And you can also buy that, like, maybe Jar Jar will get, like, I think the tension is also like, is Jar Jar going to be an Anakin?
Will
Jar Jar essentially, like, these are his only friends, and, like, you know, if Anakin can be convinced that this is the right path, like, can't Jar Jar?
By the way, I do think the way to handle Darth Binks, right, which is this specter that hangs over this script that we get asked about, like, quite a bit. Like, to be frank, I am not a fan of Darth Binks as
theory. Darth Binks.
I do too. Because I'm like, to me, it is like the most cynical interpretation of Darth. It's just like, we can't handle, like, the idea of, like, a character just being genuinely good is so dorky and cringy that we have to secretly think he's evil. I'm like, I get why it's a fun theory. But, like, to me, if you were going to name check Darth Binks in this, it would be like a end of act two low point Force vision, right? Like, yes, we see, yes, like, and then you put it in the trailer to make people think, like, oh shit, Darth Binks is showing up. But it's like Galadriel when she's tempted by the ring, right? And she's like, I will be a queen, bold and beautiful.
Yes.
Like, it would be like that kind of moment where, like, he sees, like, the path that this is leading down.
Yes.
Would be fucking cool. And then we can get one shot of Darth Binks sparking up that saber.
Oh, you could definitely do it as Anakin being like, when he realizes, like, Jar Jar maybe isn't who he says he is, like, Anakin tries to sell him. In the same way that the Emperor does to Luke Skywalker.
Oh, he's like, yo, like, you and me, we could kill the Emperor and rule together.
Like, look what you could be. And it's like this. Yes, actually, like, look what you could be. And there's this vision.
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually really good. Actually, I like that. I like that Darth Vader already is like, hey, the Emperor, like, he kind of lied to me a little bit, too. Like, he's a little too ruthless. Like, this is different than I thought it would be. Jar Jar, you're my only friend. We could kill the Emperor and we could rule, you know, correctly. Because then the idea that this is also, this movie's, again, is also about Anakin fully going over that him killing Jar Jar. It's like he turns around and the Emperor's there. And it's like, killing Jar Jar is also like the final transformation moment of Anakin to
Darth
Vader.
Yes, no, I like that quite a bit. I was going to say, here, this is rowdy. Like, you do, it's like, all right, Jar Jar, your first mission, get this poison so I can murder Padme with it. And you're like, wait, what? And then you realize, like, no, she didn't die of a fucking broken heart. They have fucking droids in the future that are, like, super smart at fixing stuff. Like, of course, like, because that's always one of those things people laugh about. Like, you see Anakin get both his legs and his arms sliced off on a volcano. And then he's like, well, we put them back together, though. And it's like, oh, she died of a broken heart. And it's like, no, you do, like, she was clinging to life and the Emperor had her fucking killed.
Maybe
it's a little too gritty. I don't know.
No, but there is also, like, people just forget. Like, I think it's a deleted scene, but the next moment, they're like, wait, a broken heart? They're like, yeah, a coronary occlusion. Like,
I guess that's true.
Like, her heart broke. I mean, I was just trying to make it simple for you because you're not a robot. It's just like,
I don't know if we should have the Emperor fridge bad. Man, that fucking sucks. Never mind.
No, I think she dies. And it's also like, as silly as it is, like, it is the thematic point of that scene.
It would be a lot dumber if it was like, well, no, then he had her whacked or whatever. It's like, no, he killed her by being a jerk.
Yeah, I don't know if people buy, like, Jar Jar killed Padme.
Not Jar Jar, I'd be like, but it's like, Jar Jar, I was like, what did you need that poison for, Emperor? It's like, oh, I don't know. I'll never tell.
is the jar of poison just has like a part with like, you know, a broken heart image on it.
It makes it look like the person's died of a broken heart.
Broken heart.
All right. So he's been thrown in the van. Qui-Gon's revealed himself. And then we cut like, and then I try to think of where you cut.
Where do you talk with a Force ghost? You know what I mean? Like if you're gonna have a conversation with a Force ghost.
This conversation can't just be like Qui-Gon looking over his shoulder while he's driving a car. Like,
no, yeah, we can
move. Like, everyone's gonna die. Like, I'm trying to think like where they go.
Some Jedi holy place outside the city, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, yeah, their meeting point. They just cut back to Dex's diner.
It's the kitchen.
Roof of Dex's diner.
The roof of Dex's diner
because it's one story, and everybody's like, who's that guy up there? Like right there, I see you. You're one story up. You're talking to yourself.
It's just so rowdy that he essentially would abduct Jar Jar in a van, speed off, do a lap around the block, and come back and be like, "This is actually our hiding spot, though." It's kind of awkward.
We need a cool Star Wars location.
And then you do Dex as a member of the Resistance. Like Dex as a member of like Qui-Gon's like spy network makes sense because he's got the ear on the ground.
That's
right?
Fun. Fuck it. We'll take everybody's favorite location and character, Dex, and now he's in this movie
Dex
a lot.
Dex and
too.
Jar Jar Look, save the universe.
Yes. No, I like, fuck it.
Fucking Dex is, you know, like making his Bantha burgers. And
Dex
then
is telling people super spy shit. It makes sense.
Well, yeah, Dex is like, oh, yeah, he doesn't just know what. How do you think he fucking knows what a Kamino fucking poison dart is, right? Like, he's flipping Bantha burgers. He's got like a whole armory of like plastic explosive in the basement.
No, here's a question, though. Can Dex know? Because I don't think anybody can know Jar Jar is a spy other than Qui-Gon.
That's true, yes.
The moment he has other connections, you're like, okay, like Dex probably knows. Yeah.
Unless Dex also gets killed at one point.
I mean, you will not kill Dex. Dex.
No, you definitely want Jar Jar trying to go to Dex's place to have his favorite burger, and Dex has to serve him, but Dex hates him. Like, that's better, dude.
Right.
And Jar Jar sees Dex doing some rebel shit, and it's like, is he gonna report Dex?
Just hear me out, though. Where do we do our scene where the Emperor's getting like his imperial coronation, and we're cutting around to people getting whacked, and then you cut to the fucking diner, and Dex is like, bleh, and he like comes in to start up the grill, and then he starts it up, and you cut to Dex's diner exploding. You're like, oh shit, Dex got rubbed out.
Oh, we should. I mean, no, I have no problem with killing Dex. absolutely not, if done the right way. I think like that could be a sad moment. Like, I like Jar Jar getting a burger there, and Dex is like, oh, hi, governor or whatever, and then like Jar Jar's about to say something, and then the next time he meets Qui-Gon, he's like, you think I didn't fucking see you talking to Dex? He's like, I didn't say anything. He's like, you were thinking about it.
I sensed it, Jar
Jar. You almost said something, you idiot.
Then there's this ambiguity as to whether Qui-Gon or the Emperor killed Dex.
oh shit
Yeah, they both are like, let's just say Dex won't be a problem anymore. Wait, what does that mean? I mean, it's just not gonna be a problem. Wait, did you kill him? No, not necessarily. Just that it won't be a problem. Won't be a problem anymore.
Jar Jar's like, let me see the police report on the explosion. They're like, cause, and they look. They're like, a ghost match. What's a ghost match? Somebody left a ghost match there. Qui-Gon, it was you.
And then like Jar Jar like gets into Qui-Gon's face and it's just like, I don't give a fuck about Dex. I need that burger recipe. Tell me you fucking got the recipe.
Do the job and I'll give you the recipe. All right, and we got to focus. We cut to their secret meeting place, you know.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia and it looks like there's around Coco Town, which is where Dex's diner is. There's a series of network of underground maintenance tunnels. So, mm-hmm. You could do an old sewer talking scene.
I mean, not to just be in front of Ferris, but like, can we just do like a big, tall building?
Can we just do like a big, tall building somewhere?
It's so much more cinematic than like a sewer. Unless you do, it's like a sewer and there's just like a bunch of, this could be a good place to get just like some rowdy, fun Star Wars creature effects. You know, like the blue milk sort of thing. That's like the best part about Last Jedi. Like,
oh,
you know, they could
so
just be
like
in some like Gundark nest or something in some sewer. And there's just a bunch of like weird Loch Ness monster type things that always look Jar Jar. And he's like, guys, stop it. I'm waiting for Qui-Gon. Leave me alone.
You like the salt on your skin.
That's not salt. That's urine. I urinate from all my
pores. No, but hear me out. So like, I feel like Qui-Gon's lair, so to speak, would be like a kind of Phantom of the Opera situation. Mm-hmm. Right? Because he's essentially like he's a ghost, right?
And nobody likes ghosts in society. Society, dude. You can't just go out in the open as a ghost, Matt. Fucking idiot.
If you were to do, like,
Okay. I like him as Phantom of the Opera. I like that they go underground and then they hear some noise. Like, what is that? It's like, oh, sorry, we're just below the freaking Coruscant, like, center opera house. Like, so that way you get fucking crazy music.
Just low key, this running subplot where fucking Qui-Gon is in love with, like, the Contessa who sings the aria. You know, like, it's under the big, remember the theater where they see the big weird floating blue ball and do the Darth Plagueis, the wise, you know, scene? It's like under that theater.
Okay, we need this because you need an opera scene. Okay, you do this, you need an opera scene where Jar Jar knows an assassination is occurring.
Holy shit.
Where Jar Jar knows that the Emperor is going to assassinate somebody that Jar Jar cares about, and then there's this tension because Qui-Gon's right below them. He's like, don't fucking do anything, Jar Jar. Jar Jar is like trying, and Jar Jar like stops the assassination like during this fucking opera scene.
You do that, the Emperor, to butter up Jar Jar, has commissioned a Hamilton-esque rock opera about Jar Jar's life.
Oh my god.
And then, like, how does just, a like, Gungan,
yeah, it's like, how does
general
a swamp grown Gungan son of a yeah, like, it's the hottest show in town.
Bombad General.
Bombad General.
How does a Bombad General
how does a bomb
nut himself on a tank treat?
Shit. That's very good.
Misa, oh, Mr. Fuck. Jar Jar Binks. All right, so
I'm just gonna really quick, if you just get on rhymezone.com and look up rhymes for the word Gungan, let's just take a look.
Shit. Okay, so yes, that's very good. But here's what I was gonna say, is that you would do like his lair, wherever he goes, like, especially if you wanted to establish this idea that, like, he barely has control over what he's doing, right? Like, or, like, that his power is still pretty limited. You could do, like, there's some abandoned shack somewhere where, like, he, over the course of, like, you know, like, 5 years or whatever, was able to manipulate objects in our world long enough to draw, like, a fucking Jedi rune so that he could summon his own spirit back to our world, right? Mm-hmm. But his range is still pretty limited. Like, he's not able to go everywhere. But, like, this is, like, his sanctum sanctorum, where, like, this is the point at which he, you know, is able to, you know, enter our world or something like that. Is that a thing, maybe? I don't know.
You could do that. Where was he buried or burned or whatever?
That was on Naboo.
Mm-hmm. Okay, never mind then. This Qui-Gon's like, for some reason, when I appeared, this is where I was born. And Jar Jar was like, this swamp? He's like, well, it wasn't a swamp when I was born here, you idiot. This was 40 years ago. This is where I used to live. Anyways, who cares about that? Sure, let's say it's underground. That's fine.
Or it's, again, it's like a secret underground catacomb in the Jedi Temple.
Yeah,
you know, which has been burned to the ground now, or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
It's just a fucking underground Mahjong. Plays with a bunch of old ladies.
Let's just have a nice, yeah.
Oh, it's an underground chess club. It's a hollow chess club.
Oh, my God. Okay, guys.
Because he fits right in. Think about it. Ghost would fit right in. All those hollow chess guys.
Okay, he's just by himself. It's just a fucking underground lair. It's fine. It's an underground lair. Here's a question. Do we just want to do this scene? I mean, we've done some chunky scenes. I feel like the whole, like, coming back and meeting the Emperor and Darth.
Oh, no, we're not doing that. I'm not doing
that. Okay, so yeah, this is just, he's going to, yeah. Qui-Gon's recruiting him.
Putting where the scene takes place aside for a second. So it's also just, again, this is one of these things that drives me nuts in movies where it's like you end a scene on a huge reveal and clearly the scene would keep going. Like, Jar Jar would be like, what the fuck? How are you alive? And, like, they would just talk about it all in the car, but we want to cut someplace cooler. But I guess we just suck it up and deal with that.
The way to get out of that is easy. He's like, he's just started learning the ghost thing, right?
Oh, I see. He's like
dissipating.
Yeah, he's like, not now. I got to focus on driving.
I got to focus on staying corporeal and driving a car.
And again, it's a hover car in fucking Coruscant. Like, we saw that, like, dangerous, crazy fucking, like, they're 700 feet off the ground flying through the freeway or whatever. And then you do, as he's talking to Jar Jar, he flickers out. And then the car starts nosediving. He has to ride it. He's like, we'll talk later.
Okay, so this is no longer, like, a quiet, like, they're in some, like, secret lair on top of a building. It's like, this scene is happening while they're driving around. Like, I mean, that is definitely more frenzied tone, by the way. Mm-hmm. The last thing Qui-Gon says is that he gives him a location to meet him next time. Mm-hmm. And that was where he can establish this, like, rooftop or whatever where he's meeting him. I do like that he is still having trouble being corporeal or whatever it is, because he's just...
Well, that's fun, because then you can have Jar Jar has to go up and take the wheel at one point, you know, like, yes, and now yes. It's just the two of them sitting in the front seat, and, like, that's maybe a little easier.
Yeah.
And then you do Jar Jar's an even worse driver than Obi-Wan. Yes, this is the bit, is that at first he's like, yes, Jar Jar's be Qui-Gon, but it's like he's flickering out and, like, the car's swerving over. It's like, he's like, take the wheel, and Jar Jar has to climb over and take the wheel. And then you do Jar Jar's driving, but then he's like, yeah, fucking Padme's dead, and fucking Anakin's a cyborg, and like the Emperor's this, and then Jar Jar just starts freaking out and crying, and then he's not driving. He's like, "Oh my god, will you drive?" Like that's like the they gotta get the droid to take over or something like that. Like I don't know, it feels like a bit
to me. There's like a two-parter here because part one is, "Oh my gosh, my friend is back. He's a ghost," mm-hmm. and then Qui-Gon needs to be like, "You need to get in with the Emperor because you need to stay close, right? Keep your friends close, enemies close, or whatever the hell."
Yeah, yeah.
And then part two is then the Emperor needs Jar Jar to prove his worth to me, is the order of operations.
What if you do that Qui-Gon takes Jar Jar to the Jedi Temple and then with his ghost force powers shows Jar Jar what happened when Anakin and the fucking troopers marched in? Like, he's able to do, like, a force projection, essentially, and Jar Jar sees that Anakin massacred a bunch of children on the orders of the fucking Emperor. And he's like, oh, my God.
Oh, and then, oh, I see.
Do you know
see.
What I mean?
And
like, it's the, like, this man's evil knows.
And the twist yeah. of it is Qui-Gon's like, and you're going to need to join up with
and
him
And then the, you, this
like,
is you the guy to, I need yeah. you to go undercover with. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Because then we can finally see Anakin. Like, this is the R-rated Star Wars movie I've been waiting for.
This is fucking tragic.
I like those clear stakes. And again, the scene when Anakin comes in and he's this terrifying creature.
Yes.
Like, of course, Jar Jar's like, yeah, look at this. He's this terrifying creature now. This
yeah,
makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the final moment is when, like, the Emperor's gone. There's this
yes,
moment
like,
of vulnerability
oh
where he hugs him. Yeah. He's like, I'm glad you're here with me. It's like, oh, yeah. shit. Like,
yeah. I've lost everything.
He's still
it's
human.
Like, he's still human. Okay, that's
he's
very
been
good.
Manipulated.
All right.
I like that expressing the stakes more than just, like, this is beyond it. Like, yes, this is why Qui-Gon knows this is beyond just, like, a simple play for power. Like, it's like the Emperor is pure evil.
He had one of the greatest pod racers in the galaxy genocide kids.
Don't you get it, Jar Jar?
Don't you understand? That's like if Michael Jordan killed a bunch of kids, dude.
Oh, my God.
That's Mario Andretti killed okay, kids. Yeah.
Okay. That was definitely the primary strength of Anakin. Was the whole time, Qui-Gon's like, I lost my best pod racer, damn it. That was my retirement plan.
Look, until Anakin becomes Darth Vader, what is Anakin best known for? Being one of the best pod racers alive.
I mean, stopping the droid army.
Legacy, dude.
Okay, but here's something that could be cool, is you could do, essentially, part of the why now for Qui-Gon is, you do that he died, but some part of his spirit was wandering the afterlife, lost, right? And then you would mm-hmm. do, it was the collective psychic anguish and pain of Order 66
it anchored him to Coruscant,
that brought
yes.
him back. Like, that was the light. Like, he was looking, you know, he was lost, and then he saw, like, essentially, like, all of this collective trauma is, like, what was a part of what was able to yes. let him find his way back to the world.
Dude, that rules, because that means that he came back from the afterlife. He's like, Order 66, refocus my force energies.
Yes.
First things I gotta do is I gotta recruit some droids, and I gotta boost a car.
It's just to turn him into Liam Neeson from Taken, is basically what it did.
Wow, yes. yeah.
What he doesn't realize is that focusing energy that is driving him is hate, mm-hmm. and he hasn't really yes. put that together yet.
Fear.
Fear
that more
yes,
Jedi will
yeah.
die. Which, I mean, I believe leads to hate, according to
I think it leads
according
to
Master Yoda.
Yeah, it leads to anger.
Fear leads to shitting in my pants, usually. Like, when I'm scared of something, the next moment, I'm like, oh, God, I hated that, too.
Anyways, yeah, it's like, I don't hate the film Hereditary.
I don't understand.
Nothing. I was just saying, I've always thought that fear leads to hate speech is pretty dumb, but anyways.
What is this? Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. I think that tracks. I think fear and anger are pretty well tied to each
other. It's like
a
rectangle square thing. It's not like a, it's like, I don't know if it's like all causation, but I get it. I get the idea. Like, yes.
You're also assuming that Yoda's saying it grammatically correct. You know what I mean? Like,
everybody's like, dude, we realize it's been backwards the whole time. Everything else Yoda says is backwards. He meant it's the other direction.
So by saying fear leads to anger, it's like, fear leads to anger. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, fear, comma, leads to anger. Anger leads anger. To fear is what he's saying. And then he's saying anger, comma, leads to hate. So really it's suffering leads to hate, leads to anger, leads to fear, which makes even less sense.
Oh, we should stop suffering. No, that makes perfect sense. Suffering's the important problem. We should have just been fucking concentrating on a natural healthcare service instead of fucking training with lightsabers all the time. He was
right.
saying stop
yeah,
suffering.
Yeah, that's right. Instead of using the force to wave colored sticks around, we could have just like ended cancer.
okay anyways.
All right, okay, so this is feeling good. So basically yeah. the Jar Jar car is going to show up at the Jedi Temple and
via secret underground tunnels.
Jedi temples are pretty mysterious. Also, Freddie, I don't know if you have been listening, but there's probably not a lot of people in the Jedi temple right now.
No, but I'm saying, like, they probably would be guarding
it's pretty
it.
Empty. It's pretty
and
empty.
It's also
most
like a
of the,
huge,
most
it's
of the
a
people
huge
who
building.
Enjoy a good Jedi temple were just all murdered.
Yeah, they're changing it over into a swimming pool rec space. This is going to be the new YMCA.
Qui-Gon, we're going to the Jedi Temple. Aren't there going to be people here? And Qui-Gon's like, too soon, Jar Jar's like, oh, yeah. Oops, sorry. My bad. You're right.
So this feels like there's probably a little bit of dialogue in the car where it's basically like in Heaven Heist where we do the you're going to kill me scene where you end with the car rounding the corner. We see the hospital you round the corner. You see the Jedi Temple.
Yes.
It's like, oh, shit. Why is he taking me to the Jedi Temple? And then you cut to them breaking in the back door or whatever. And
yeah, I mean, the first thing is the initial, oh my God, it's Qui-Gon.
Yeah. You do what Freddy's talking about, which is you just start with two clone troopers sitting at the back door and then just both their necks just twist completely around and they just And then fucking Qui-Gon just walks past them and Jar Jar's like, holy shit, what is going on? And he's like, when I came back, blah, 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 blah. And he started.
You ever seen? Because this will set up Qui-Gon as a real hardcore dude. It's a neck break, but it happens slowly.
Oh,
like, what's going on? Oh my! Whoa, oh, it's like, sorry, Jar Jar. I would have done it faster to relieve their suffering, but I'm still getting the hang of this.
Just keeps rotating.
It goes all the way around, and the guy's fine again at the end.
No. You've never seen a neck break where the body turns. Not the head.
God.
He's like, grabbed the wrong thing.
That would be such a Naked Gun move. Would it's be the neck snap, frozen. But he does it too hard, and the guy's head spins around, and then he's fine for some reason. It's like, his neck.
It'd be a guy
around.
Massaging somebody's shoulder. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, thanks, that's good. And then they twist the shoulder and it breaks the neck somehow.
So they go into the temple. He's going to kind of explain how he came, he was lost in the, ether. And then, the anguish of this event brought him back. And then he snaps his fingers and he reveals all these ghosts. They're like, who did this? And you see this sort of dark, shadowy figure with a lightsaber. And then he's able to kind of reveal that it was Anakin. He's like, Annie? And then it's like, yes. And it's like, on the orders of, Darth Sidious, a.k.a., Senator Emperor Palpatine.
Yes.
But he's like, oh, my God, I've got to tell Padme. It's like, it's too late for her. Like, something's coming. She's like, Padme's already dead. It's actually a pretty gnarly thing he could say.
I just think emotionally it's less, I have to tell Padme. It's not like you can't because she's dead. It's like, you can't tell anybody.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Even if they weren't dead, you can't tell anybody. Nobody can know. The Emperor's too smart for this. Nobody can ever know except for me because I'm a ghost.
Yes, I need you to.
Me and all these other ghosts are the only ones who know.
It's like, yes, I need you to go undercover. And then Jar Jar is going to bravely decide to do that. And then it would be nice if there was some sort of gesture Jar Jar could do at the end of this scene that kind of signified that. But I don't know what that would be.
Jar Jar calls Nate 38 and schedules a meeting with the Emperor to discuss, the proposal.
That's true. I kind of like
that.
Yeah,
that's good.
Put it on my Google calendar. Yes. We see ominously Jar Jar tearfully click accept on the GCal invite that the Emperor sent him.
It says evil meeting reoccurring every day. 9 to 5. Jar Jar's like, he clicks it.
Sheev@gmail.com.
Looks like evil is my 9 to 5 job now.
Jaja, you may use Calendarly to find my open slots.
I feel like evil 9 to 5 is some bad 60s song that you buy the rights for that's playing over the montage of him
evil
working.
9 to 5.
It's just the Dolly Parton version, but it's Darth Lee Parton, and she's singing, we're evil 9 to 5. Gonna
and that's
kill
your montage.
Jedi, gonna
yes.
Leave no and one alive.
That's your montage of Jar Jar's first year.
All right. Well, that was a journey.
Where did we? I don't remember.
This episode's longer than Revenge of the Sith. Am I right? So when we come back, we will read that scene. Thank you for bearing with us. The driver turns to face Jar Jar. Jar Jar gasps in dumbstruck awe, for the face staring back at him is...
And I'm here to collect.
The ghost of Qui-Gon Jinn.
The part of Qui-Gon Jinn will be played today by Matt Arnold.
Sorry, buddy, you don't get as good of an impression as Freddy did.
Jar Jar screams like bloody murder.
Yeah!
Jar Jar, wait, calm down.
You're supposed to be dead.
I am dead, but through the mystery of the Force, I have... Jar Jar, no!
Jar Jar has ripped open the side door of the cargo hauler and is about to make a high-speed mid-air exit. Qui-Gon sees. With the Force, he yanks Jar Jar back into the cabin, pins him to the wall. Jar Jar's eyes bulge in terror as Qui-Gon scowls at him.
Junior Representative Binks, merely existing in this realm has taxed me beyond my power. I have no extra energy to suffer your buffoonery.
Honk, honk.
This is wild because I think every other Force ghost has just been like, Luke, I'm here. And it's just like lightly standing there. And like Qui-Gon coming back. And then like just the first thing he's doing is fucking driving a car. So insane. Like there may be a revision where it's a droid driving. I'm saying George might see this and he might be like, oh, I don't know about this, but you know, we're going to put this out
there. George doesn't have any power anymore. I don't know if you noticed this. We got impressed that JJ and Kathleen.
Kathleen told Matt over chai lattes that George is out.
Kathleen was like, you know, ghosts always have this weird, if they came back from the dead, why are they all so calm? Like, I'd be a rowdy. I was like, don't worry, Kathleen. We got a rowdy ghost for you. So we got it.
Honk, honk. With Qui-Gon distracted at the wheel, the cargo hauler has veered into oncoming hover traffic. A flying freight mover bears down on them. Qui-Gon lets Jar Jar go and swerves out of the way.
Learn to drive, asshole!
Just asshole, huh? No, like, gun dark eater or something?
Poodoo brain.
Learn to hover car, you poodoo brain.
Hey, learn to drive, poodoo brain.
Oh, boy. Qui-Gon clutches his head in pain.
You better take the wheel.
He disappears from the front seat. Jar Jar leaps forward and takes the wheel of the hauler. Qui-Gon appears in the passenger seat, exhausted.
Qui-Gon, is it really Yusa? How are Yusa here?
The Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
This ain't unnatural. This is flippin' crazy.
Qui-Gon winces and balls his fists. His Force projection shimmers and flickers. Whatever he's doing to project himself into this world is clearly taking it out of him.
I know you're confused, but I must conserve my strength. All will be revealed when we arrive.
Arrive where? Where are we so going?
Qui-Gon points out the window to the Jedi Temple.
To the scene of the crime.
You're gonna kill me.
You're gonna kill me.
That's all I could think about when I was writing that scene. Exterior Jedi Temple, night. Two clone troopers stand guard beside a side entrance to the Jedi Temple. The cargo hauler lands in front of them. They exchange a glance and approach as Jar Jar steps out.
Sorry, Representative, the temple is closed until further notice.
The clone trooper's body spins around, but his head stays stationary. His neck snaps with a sickening crack, and his blaster fires off straight into his partner's face.
Holy damn. Shit.
Both troopers crumple to the ground in a heap. Qui-Gon shimmers into view behind them. He nods to a horrified Jar Jar.
Quickly now.
Qui-Gon enters the temple. Jar Jar nervously steps around the dead troopers and follows him. Interior Jedi Temple, night. The grand halls of the Jedi Order lay in ruins, pockmarked by blaster fire and saber burns. A ghostly silence hangs in the air. Jar Jar shudders as he follows after Qui-Gon.
For a time in life, I studied with a shaman of the wills. They taught me the secret of retaining one's consciousness beyond death. Alas, I died before I could master this ability. Yet, as I beheld the great oneness of the cosmic force, some part of me resisted its embrace. I had a vision of a great evil befalling the galaxy, and my soul would know no peace until I stopped it. So I turned away from the light. I wandered the netherworld trying to find my way back here. For a long, long time, I was lost to oblivion. In the end, it was the screams that guided me home.
One of the things I want to point out here is that they're like, they can teach you all you want about like, hey, here's how you're going to become a ghost after you die. You do need to die before you know for sure you could do it. You know what I mean? It's like you can spend as much time in the classroom talking about how to parachute, but like you still got to get in the plane.
Yep, you got to jump out.
Yeah, Qui-Gon was studying becoming a ghost and like he got his final back and they gave him his A+. And Qui-Gon looked at him and was like, did I though? Did I really get an A+? Do we know?
We'll find out. If you didn't, they scammed you, you wouldn't know.
Exactly.
In the end, it was the screams that guided me home.
Qui-Gon closes his eyes in concentration and raises his hands. All around him, a haunting tableau appears. The ghostly forms of younglings, dark and blurry, frozen like 3D shadows, fill the hall. Some flee, some hide, and some lay sprawled on the floor. Jar Jar staggers back in horror.
The younglings, Jar Jar. 200 children slaughtered by a Jedi's blade.
Jar Jar's eyes well with tears. His voice breaks.
Who's the could have done this? Who?
Qui-Gon motions to a hooded figure standing amidst the chaos, a lightsaber in his grip.
They were killed on the orders of the Dark Lord of the Sith by his new apprentice, Darth Vader. Or as we once knew him.
Suddenly, the figure jump cuts to a new position. The saber, held high for a killing blow, illuminates his face, the face of Anakin Skywalker. Jar Jar gasps.
Annie? No. No, that's not true. That's impossible.
Forward.
So what you're telling me is that Luke Skywalker is quoting Jar Jar Binks, huh?
Yep.
Anakin has been seduced by the dark side of the Force, by a master of evil only now emerging from the shadows.
Anakin's figure jump cuts again. Now he kneels before a hologram projection of Chancellor Palpatine, scowling in a hooded black robe.
The Chancellor? Oh no.
The calamity I foresaw has already begun. A Sith Lord rules the galaxy. Beside him stands the most powerful Jedi ever known. And the only person who can stop them...
Jar Jar looks up. Qui-Gon stares right at him.
...is me.
But Yusa's just a ghost.
I know. Oh, well, that's where you come in.
Misa?
Palpatine has outwitted his rivals at every turn, but you? He'll never see you coming.
Coming to do what?
To uncover his schemes, to foil his plots.
This isn't too much for Misa, Qui-Gon. You still want Padme or Bail Organa. They still resisting the Empire. Misa can get them right now.
Jar Jar turns to leave. Qui-Gon appears in front of him.
No! They can never know. The Resistance is still in its infancy and full of spies. For their safety and yours, our allies must believe you have become the Emperor's most loyal servant.
But how can Misa serve the people who did this?
He gestures to the carnage around them.
You would do it because you must. Because no one else can. And because the galaxy needs you, Jar Jar.
Jar Jar drops to his knees, overwhelmed by what's being asked of him. Qui-Gon's voice softens as he kneels down next to Jar Jar.
But you will not serve him, Jar Jar. You'll play the part of his bumbling sycophant. But in truth, you'll become something more.
Jar Jar scoffs.
What, a hero? Haven't Yusa heard? Misa already the hero of Naboo.
No, Jar Jar, not a hero. A phantom menace.
Jar Jar looks up and...
You son of a bitch.
I ran out of the room to tell Cherish when I wrote that line. I was like, oh, this is really good. I referenced the movie. It's a doozy, dude, but I missed it around. Jar Jar looks up at the wild gleam in Qui-Gon's eyes. A long, weary, quiet beat. Then Jar Jar shuts his eyes and lets out a sigh.
You like that movie too?
I do like that movie. It's underrated.
I love that movie. I thought I was pretty good at it.
Well, you need to, at some point, sneak in a, now this is truly the Star Wars.
Now this is attacking the clones. Interior, Palpatine's chambers. Jar Jar shakes hands with Emperor Palpatine as a packed room of politicians and journalists watch. Palpatine throws an arm around Jar Jar and gives a smile for the cameras.
It is my great honor to introduce my good friend, Governor Jar Jar Binks.
Applause and camera flashes fill the air. Jar Jar masks the pain in his soul behind one of his big, goofy trademark smiles.
He looks across the room, and who does he see? Qui-Gon Jinn's ghost, giving him big thumbs up. You know what would be great that I've never seen?
What?
You know how we always joke about how droids get, like, R2-D2 gets, like, blasters? You don't see, like, that on the biological level. Like, I wish, like, Jar Jar was, like, crying, and then his ears just wiped away, like, the tears from his eyes. And you're like, oh. Like, his ears have, like, muscles in them. Okay, that's cool. I get that now. That makes sense. Like, they're, like, fins
it's
or something.
It's just the Jar Jar stuff, like a little shock zapper pops out of
just, like, out of nowhere.
His tummy. You're like, what the fuck, Jar Jar? It's like, yeah, all Gungans have that.
Anyway, sorry, that was the first thing I thought of because this scene was very good, Will. It's good. I'm pumped. Fucking Jar Jar's in there, baby. Jar Jar's a spy.
Jar Jar's the Phantom Menace, baby.
We did it.
Everyone was like, what the fuck is the Phantom Menace? It was Jar Jar the whole time.
It was Jar Jar all along.
It was Jar Jar the whole time, all along.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty pumped, too. This was a fun scene to write. I was like, fucking Captain Ahab, Qui-Gon getting all crazy. It was really the turn that I was like, okay, like this is where you know that this version of Qui-Gon is like a little, he's got a screw too loose, is when he's like the only one can stop him. And it's like, oh, he's going to say Jar Jar. It's like, it's me. It's like, me. Oh, okay. Like, it's like that, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking of Phantom Menaces, tell me about the fan art that we got.
Fandom Menaces, Freddie. It was right there.
Ah, you're right.
We got some really, really good stuff today. So up first, thanks to Devin H. on Twitter, who's tinkering around with a little poster for Jar Jar Portrait of the Hero. He's got the teaser poster up, which is inspired by the teaser poster of Rogue One, and it looks so good. So thank you very much to Devin. We've got another great piece of fan art for you from Velub the Genderqueer Spider. They hit us again with a freaking limo scream piece of fan art, which was like such a deep cut. I was so excited to see it. It's got this awesome kind of like 80s vaporwave vibe. I love it. So thanks very much to Velub. Last but most certainly not least, Zachary McIntyre in our Facebook group posted a video he's been working on at a glacial pace for 2 years.
What?
This is Charles Entertainment Cheese taking the Voight Kampff test from Blade Runner. And I assure you it is just as fucking fantastic as you would hope it would be. He put Chuck E. Cheese in the Voight Kampff scene. It's hysterical. So go check it out. You can find that on our Facebook group, bit.ly/storybreakfb. Or you can see all the other fan art on our Twitter page, twitter.com/RJStorybreak.
And you can find us as well as a bunch of other great podcasts at Maximum Fun, which is our podcast network. Head on over to MaximumFun.org to check out all the great and only podcasts on the internet. Turns out there was a thing that happened, and this is the only podcast. MaximumFun.org. Chad Ellis edits this podcast.
Thanks, Chad.
We'll see you all next week. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
And my name is Matt Arnold. And you know what I like about that name that you called out, Will? Because I feel like us sitting in the shadows writing the best Star Wars movie without the folks at Disney knowing about it, in some ways, we're the Phantom Menace.
We're the Fandom Menace.
We're the Fandom. That's right. We're doing fan fiction. It's all good.
Let's be frank. We're the Rise of Skywalker.
Hey, it's Jesse. What you're about to hear is real.
Hey, this is Chris.
Hi, Chris. It's Jesse calling from Maximum Fun.
Hey, Jesse.
I heard that you got into a car accident.
Yeah, I was listening to Stop Podcasting Yourself, and I just laughed so hard that I slammed into a construction barrier.
You remember what it was that was so funny?
I will never forget, I'm sure. They started talking about Vegas and the, you know, if it happens here, it stays here, and that slogan. And then Graham was talking about, oh, you know, wasn't there some other slogan for another commercial?
Oh, it was like a commercial for food, and it said, like, whatever's in there stays in there. I can't remember what it was, clams or something.
Clam?
Just so ridiculous. And man, I got lightheaded. I was laughing so hard. Next thing I know, smash. So, yeah. They are just brilliantly funny.
So I talked to Dave and Graham from Stop Podcasting Yourself. We would like to pay your car repair bill. Is that okay?
That would be super nice, Jesse. Thank you. I appreciate that.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.